Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's Offsides with Mark and Lonzo right here on ESPN Upstate. You know, I have this strong feeling about life where I feel like if you can't be happy for other people's success, that you'll never have any of your own. And for the longest time, I felt like, my dad said, Mark, there's this guy you got to check out. He's in Georgia. And my dad is not the most internet savvy guy, but he came across Josh Pate, and he came across Josh Pate's Late Kick podcast, which was on YouTube at the time. And my dad said to me, Mark, this guy's one of the best guys that I've seen. So I watched it. I agreed with it. And I'm just like, man, you know, you have those best kept secret places in town, right? And you almost don't want the word to get out about those places, because then they won't be your best kept secret place anymore. It was only a matter of time before somebody picked him up because his content was outstanding. In case you're wondering, Josh, I am available to represent you now as an agent. Josh Pate, 24/7 Sports, National Director of Video, 24/7 Sports, widely made that addition. And Josh is blowing up right now because the content is outstanding. Josh, great to be joined by you as always, my friend. How are you?
Mark, I'm dead serious, man. I've not heard someone talk up something that much since I talked Smitty's Boiled Peanuts down in Columbus, Georgia, up like that. Because they used to sit on the corner of Veterans Parkway and Double Churches Road, which means nothing to your audience. But he was the Boiled Peanut guy. He worked out of a truck before food trucks were cool. And no one wanted to tell their friends about him, because everyone wanted to have the secret Boiled Peanut spot. It was like there was some moonshine still turned into a Boiled Peanut spot way out in the woods. And finally, Smitty went mainstream, and he set up on a real popular street corner, and then everyone was disappointed because it was still the same product, but now everyone knew about it. It wasn't as fun anymore.
There was a level of fun to you, Josh, when it was small-town Georgia, but really, really good content. It was like, whoa. It's like, I don't know, man. I don't know why we... I don't know. The moral of the story is there's so much great talent in this country in a lot of the smaller markets. And, brother, I'm glad that 24/7 Sports recognized you. There's a lot of people. I get asked all the time, Josh, you know, like, how did you get your break? What happened? Can we ask you that question, Josh? Because you were a news anchor in Georgia. You were doing, I think, your podcast in addition to that on YouTube, which was really slickly produced. So what happened? What was your big break that happened very recently here?
Well, you know, I need to tell that story one day in a long form. It would probably make a good podcast, but the kind of Cliff Notes version is I was doing nothing in media. I was just listening to it every day, and I wanted to get in, and I got a break there in Columbus to get on radio. And then I got a break to be put on radio. And then from being on radio, a general manager in Columbus who ran a TV station there, the NBC affiliate there, WLTZ in Columbus, he called me up out of the blue. I'd never met him before. And he said, hey, do you want to be the driver on this vehicle of an idea I have? I want to put a college football show on every night. So we did that on TV, and it eventually transitioned to I made it my own, and I wanted to go digital with it for obvious reasons. And so simultaneously, I was a sports anchor, elevated to news anchor, and there came a time where I was going to have to make a decision. And there was a contract extension in front of me, and it would have been a lot more guaranteed money to be in the news anchor business, but I would not have been able to produce my own content independently. And so what I did was I struck a deal with them. It was very, very risky financially at the time to do an independent contractor status. I would anchor news for them for a set, very low rate per day. But in exchange, I wanted to be able to use their facilities to produce and distribute my own content, which to me was a multi-million dollar deal. I don't think they looked at it that way, but that's how I was able to put a product up that looked like it was so highly produced, because it was highly produced, because I was using a full TV station's infrastructure to do it. And then from there, I was contacted by Shannon Terry, who is the CEO of 24/7 Sports. And he said, I don't even know what exactly it is we want to do. I just know that I want you to do it. Can you come? And I said, yes, I can. And so I got here in January. But one of the caveats I've always had, and it has been a seamless transition and everyone here has been great, is I wanted to keep that feel you're talking about. I wanted to keep the very humble, but also very authentic, very granular, ground-based, nuanced, alternative media feel. I didn't want it to look like an ESPN show, all due respect to the guys in Bristol. I didn't want it to look like what you could already find everywhere else. I wanted it to be unique because that's what I like and that's what I know that our audience likes.
So the CEO of 24/7 Sports, did you know him previously? He just happened to find you, stumble upon you?
That's basically it, yeah. Now, I've known his name for quite a while. I mean, Shannon Terry is a pretty big name. If you followed the advent of Rivals.com and the sell of that to Yahoo Sports, and then the rise of 24/7, and then the acquisition of that by CBS. And I followed that just because I'm a diehard recruiting fan.
Sure.
But at the same time, I've always felt that there's a lot more potential to this brand than just strictly recruiting. That's always going to be the name of the game here, but you can do a lot of stuff, like, for example, what we're doing now. And I'll tell you this, Mark, we have national meetings every Tuesday morning where so many talented people are throwing out so many great ideas, and you're trying to put landing gears on as many of those ideas as you can to not only make them be able to fly, but make them be able to take off and land too. So we got so many things in the works right now that I don't honestly think we've scratched the surface of the potential of what we're going to do here.
Really exciting stuff. Josh Pate joining us here on the show. All right, Josh. So, you know, today's big topic is obviously, are we going to have fans in the stands? Are we not? It seemed a couple weeks ago. Isn't it amazing how this thing is just evolving every single week? There's so much that's happened since the last time we spoke to you just 7 days ago today. But now the big topic is, you know, we were resigned to the fact, hey, just give us college football. We'll accept no fans. And now what we're seeing is, hey, maybe do we have to make this concession now? Ohio State today, 20 to 22,000 fans possible. If progress is made, maybe 40 to 50,000 fans possible. What are you hearing, Josh, as it pertains to the fans attending games this fall?
It feels like it's the opposite of what we had a couple of months ago. A couple of months ago, it was almost like we were witnessing a race to the bottom of who can be the most morbid in their outlook first. And so you had one governor saying, well, we're going to be shut down through the end of the month. And then another governor, hey, we're going halfway through the summer. And then some other governor said, screw it. We're just closed through 2030. And so now you've seen the pendulum come the other way. And it's funny. We were just talking last week. Last Thursday, you had me on this show. And what were we talking about? We were talking about the Pac-12 potentially ceasing to exist if they were going down the route that they sounded like they were going down. A week later, you got Gavin Newsom out there in California saying, oh, I don't know what you guys are talking about. We're going to have football this fall. We're going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine. And so now it feels like you're in a race that I'm more comfortable with, a race back to the top of you got someone saying, hey, maybe we'll have sporadic fans. And then someone else is going to say, as you said, you see the trend starting to develop, 20,000, 25,000, 50,000. The point is, again, just like last week, we're still in May. And so if we're already heading in this direction now, then we get June and we get July. And also keep this in mind too, Mark, if we're talking about how many fans we can admit, that's not a static decision that you make in July and you can't evolve and adjust with. It could be that we get 3 weeks into the season and then people get comfortable opening up 80% or 100% capacity. So it's just a welcome relief to hear things heading in the direction that I hoped they would head. I'm still of the opinion that I need to sit here and just shrug my shoulders and say, I don't know. I'll just see what it is when we get there.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, though. But I'll tell you, you know, we have collectively just been beaten down now for a few months. And we don't need much right now, Josh, to make us happy. And today's trickle was the statement from Ohio State, right? It's just what we really could have fans. And then you're thinking to yourself, Well, 20,000 fans, that wouldn't sound too bad on TV, right? I watched soccer last week, Josh, Bundesliga. It kind of, sadly to me, felt like I was watching a practice when I was watching it. That's you know, I thought NASCAR obviously comes off so much better sans fans. Golf the same, UFC almost the same there. But I thought soccer, it just, man, the atmosphere in those European stadiums is what is really what draws you in. 20,000, 22,000 fans, Josh, that, they can make an atmosphere, can they not?
Well, I'll tell you exactly what you can equate it to. We've already seen it. I don't know how they do it in the Carolinas, but I know where I'm from. Like in the state of Georgia, you have the state championship, high school state championship games. They had them at the Georgia Dome for a long time. They have them at what used to be Turner Field now. But over in the state of Alabama, they will rotate between Jordan-Hare Stadium at Auburn, Bryant-Denny Stadium in Alabama. And that's the kind of crowd you get there. You get anywhere between 8 and 20,000 fans in the stands, depending on how big the school is. You get those 7A matchups in the state of Alabama, you get 25,000 people, 30,000 people in a college stadium. And, yeah, I mean, if you watch those games on TV, I've been to several of those games in person. I mean, it's certainly not 87,000 or 100,000 people, respectively. But it's also a far cry from what you're talking about, and that being a feeling of just a practice environment. And I've seen some of the stuff you're talking about, and you're right. It's like you feel like you need to whisper, like no one's supposed to be making noise. It's very surreal.
By the way, Josh, I was getting jealous of your Matthew McConaughey gets, so I had to try to trump you with a pizza delivery guy this week. I don't know if you saw that or not. Yeah,
that was money. Oh, that was – I cannot believe – you saw my retweet. I could not believe that. How in the world – I'll ask you now. We welcome in Mark Ryan. And the first question I have for you, Mark, how did you guys lock that down?
Yeah. Listen, man, I wish it was some really crazy fancy story, but I started calling around. I just said – I had this idea Sunday night. I said, what if I just start calling around pizza places in Park City, right? I'm just gonna make some phone calls. I got hung up on three different times, Josh. No, I'm not. I don't want to lose my job, and I don't want to talk to you. Click. And I was like, wow, okay. And then I decided, well, okay, I can't get anyone from a Park Place pizza shop. I'll get a host from Salt Lake City. And we did, and he was great. And then about 4 hours after that, Josh, he said, Mark, you're not going to believe this. We have a guy called in today that said he was the Michael Jordan pizza maker, and unbelievably – through our research, we believe he checks out. Would you like to vet him yourself? Called the guy, Josh, vetted him for about 15 minutes, felt like he checked out as well. The next morning, I called four or five different Park City pizza parlors again, and two of them knew that this was the guy. They said it was somewhat of an urban legend, and that, you know, this is the guy, and people in this area know the guy, and they know that he's the guy that made the pizza. So, in the end, going back 23 years, Josh, can I absolutely, positively, blue checkmark verify that that's the guy? No. But from people in that area, and the guy was a really upstanding, honest person, we thought he was the guy, and he came on the show, man. Really kind of a neat thing how that developed, and to be one of the first that had him was just awesome, you know?
One of my favorite parts about having any kind of access, not to the pizza world, I guess, like you had, but having any kind of access to, like, college football trainers or people in the communications industry, they have those kinds of stories. You'll never hear them. They can't talk about it anyway, but even if they could, they wouldn't tell them. Like, for example, you'll hear these urban legends in a rivalry game of, did one team have the other team's transmissions tapped? Could they hear the headsets from press box to field? Because, you know, we were getting blown out in the first quarter, then we suspected something and we changed the routing. I don't know how that stuff works. And then all of a sudden, they didn't have an answer for us the final three quarters. There are stories like that for every single minute in a 24-hour day if you find the right people. I don't care if I'm being interviewed. If someone has that kind of story, I just sit back, I put my hands on the back of my head, and I'm happy to listen all day.
You know, it's funny, man, what you just mentioned, that the first question I asked him was just tell us your story. And I shut the heck up for 5 minutes, Josh. You know, I just wanted the story. Give this story to our audience. As we let you go today, Josh, I do want to say I opened the show today by saying that, in my opinion, Clemson has become the number one national brand in all of college football. 16 different states encompass the 2020 recruiting class that led all of college football. This year, 10 commitments, 10 different states, none from the state of South Carolina. My top five national brands in college football today: 5 Texas, 4 LSU, 3 Alabama, 2 Notre Dame, 1 Clemson. Am I in the ballpark here, Josh, with Clemson becoming a top national brand?
If we're talking recruiting brand, then I certainly think you are. If we were talking about just college football brands, I think you need more longevity on the Clemson run of success, because you got to have more people. To me, you have to have more people coast to coast hating you. And I don't think Clemson's run right now, as impressive as it's been, it hasn't been a decade like Alabama's. It hasn't been extended like even Ohio State's, or it hasn't been decades long in the past like Notre Dame's, to where you get legitimate Miami to Seattle, L.A. to New York, and everywhere in between, finding people that hate you. Now, South Carolina fans despise them, and there may be some Alabama fans, there may be some pockets of folks in the Southeast that despise them, but I don't know if you go to like Reno, Nevada, or Fresno, California, and you say Clemson football. I don't think they move the hatred needle out there. And hatred, contrary to popular belief, it's a wonderful thing. The more folks hate you, the more you're doing something right in our business, Mark, or in the world of college football. But when you're talking recruiting, you're right, man. What they're doing is insane, and certainly they're not done in this cycle yet.
That is certainly the case. And if hate gets you a long way, I would be a millionaire right by this point, Josh. Josh Pate is the National Director of Video for 24/7 Sports. Always appreciate it, Josh. Thanks so much, pal. Continued success here moving forward, all right?
All right, guys. Take care.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.